CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. It is the 17th of September. We're more than halfway through this month, and October, November, and December are a blur. So, you know, it's not going to be long before it's Christmas and New Year and the middle of summer, and you're going to be happy as a pig in shit. Well, that's certainly my story, and it's my favorite time of year. So Pauline was just easily one of our favorite guests.
Certainly fantastic.
Geez, she's great. Just didn't take any nonsense from any of us either, huh? Isn't it great?
I love that. She's got that thing. You see, Pauline's the type of person I want around me. She's got that.
Yeah, all right. She's already got a husband. Calm down. Got a husband.
No, 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 no. I don't need to. You know what, Gareth? At this stage, we've had COVID for 2 years. I don't want to be home wrecking. No, I just want to be happy for them, Gareth, is what I mean. I mean, she's the type of human I like. I didn't
know you. I'm just
that I want to play.
I'm giving you shit and you're not getting it. All right. So, listen, we've got a big deal this morning. A big, big deal. So, I know you know who Arno Carstens and Theo Kroos are. I know you know that. But I'm going to remind you, they're bringing out a new album. Now, the Springbok Nude Girls have been part of my entire adult life. And I remember the first time I met them was when I was at university. I think I introduced them on stage once and they were just starting out. It must have been, well, it certainly was in the beginning of my career in radio. They probably had already been together about 3 years. And I've seen Arno around a lot. I've seen Theo once or twice too. They're fantastic people. And they're doing something very special this year, which is why I want to talk to them this morning. They're going to do a long-awaited full-length album called Partypocalypse. It is the last studio release that will feature the original lineup. And I can't tell you how excited I am to talk to them. So we'll get to that. Just now, Leanne is going to rejoin us in a second. Buleta, what's on the MKT show, Cliff Central Sport, today?
It's Friday. We're going to end it off correctly. It is obviously Premier League weekend. We got Michael Schumacher's documentary. If you haven't seen it, that's out on Netflix, by the way.
Isn't that called Fruit and Veg or something like that? Sorry, very insensitive. How rude.
No, please don't be. I can neither confirm nor deny.
How I skied into a tree and now I dribble in a cup.
Ubermensch Michael is what I'm calling it.
I'm sure.
I'm gonna power through your hilarious jibe there. It is funny. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we got Flip Fundamava for an hour. It's Friday. It's always nice to end it off having
Flip's
a laugh.
Cool.
You know,
Flip is cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. Very cool. So,
all right,
yeah.
Nice. So it's a busy day as usual on the MKT show. Yeah. Leanne Moll, any exciting plans for a debaucherous weekend?
Oh, yeah. So I'm hitting up this big club.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. That's what I was waiting for.
Jeez. No. Those were the days, man. You know, I would do it again just so that I could laugh at my old self.
Your old self was...
At how I relished those times.
Listen, it's not as if you look back on your days of being a wild animal, which you really were. Like, I remember, if I encountered you on a night out, it was tickets. It's not like you regret the things. You regret the things you didn't do, not the things you did. So in your case, there's not a lot to regret. You lived it up, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez, I remember when my bestie and I were both newly single.
Yeah.
And geez, I mean, I was the village bicycle. It was just so much fun.
Yes,
we had a specific bed because I had two bedrooms, and we had the pump bed, and all the pumping had to go on that bed.
Oh wow!
And even my mom would say
special reinforcement.
Even my mom would say, "Okay, so I'm thinking in your new place, we'll put your bed there, and then we'll put the pump bed in the other room." But yeah, I think I actually still have the pump bed.
No, that's probably it's going to be a museum one day.
I'll
put it on display right next to Anne Frank's diary. I have Anne Frank's diary, Leanne Moll's pump bed.
That's it. Yeah, here you have Samuel Pepys, Anne Frank.
Yeah, you're going to have the pump bed in a museum. That's great. So look at this. Someone sent me. I put this on my Instagram yesterday. Someone sent me a portrait of Carl, which she painted. A beautiful, magnificent portrait of Carl. But look at this. They made a mug. They made a mug with Carl
in it.
Oh, no,
I'm finished.
Isn't that the best thing ever? So this woman can do, and you can find all her details on my Instagram page, but you got to look at this because I just love talented people doing their thing, right? It makes me so happy. And to see the, this work that this artist does is just the greatest. Let me just give it.
I
give
need
you
to
a
get
name.
Mugs of all of my animals who
yes,
passed.
You should. And then you can have like a, like the ancient Romans used to have their masks of all their ancestors, their funeral masks on the wall. You could have
you
like.
You can go in the cupboard with the Lady Diana mug that I've got.
Yeah, all right. Her name is Lynn Dellys, L-I-N. _ Dellys, and you must go and check her out because it's just the most beautiful. Like here's a version of the actual portrait that she did of Carl. See that?
Really so see how it did it how did it get onto a mug?
So she
Same made
person? She did that, yeah. She did that too. So I didn't ask her to do it. She kind of messaged me on social media and said, do you want me to do this picture? And I said to her, sure, of course. And I'm like happy to pay you and stuff. She's like, no, I'll do it for you. And then you can order one afterwards, which you could pay for. I'm like, sure,
I miss
deal.
Carl. Is he with you now?
He's sleeping on the floor here.
He doesn't seem to snore much. I remember you used to throw things at him to stop him from snoring.
I tried not to hit him, but, you know, occasionally it's just the noise wakes him up. But he's kind of deaf. Like, he's old now. Hey? He's 10.
Oh, man. No.
Listen, I was just saying to Mbulelo that we've got these two guests who I just can't wait to speak to again. So Arno Carstens and Theo Kroos are going to join us just now. Love these guys so much. And the Springbok Nude Girls have been part of my entire adult life. I just love them. And they're getting together to do a new album in 2021. Now, you talk about how you used to party, Leanne. And
well, I've got a story about Arno Carstens, so I'll save it for the interview.
Poor Arno. Oh,
but
God.
Yes, a wild story.
I have a number of – we used to party quite hard, and I'd sometimes see him around, and then I knew I was also in big trouble. But it's amazing how also you kind of grow up. You don't regret those things, but you think back, and you're like, how did I survive those hangovers? Because that's the thing that kills you. Jesus, yeah. I can't do that kind of drinking anymore. I'll die. The next day, I'll be dead. You used to hit those tequilas.
Yeah, I just won't wake up.
You used to hit the tequilas. And I mean, I'm talking about a weekday, right? Like you'd hit a weekday and then I'd have to do the show the next day. And I'd be up at 4:30 and I'd look like I'd been pulled backwards through a fucking combine harvester. And I'd get up and do the show.
Yep.
And I don't know if I made any sense or not, but nobody figured out that I was totally still either drunk or horribly hungover. If I try
I'm very proud to say that I never did the show drunk.
You lie. Please, I used to have to do the news sometimes for you. You didn't know what was going on in front of you. You looked like a deer in the headlights. All right. Anyway, enough of that. That's not the kind of information children should be hearing, especially when we're setting terrible examples for them of the kind of derelicts that, you know, eventually become homeless people or live under a bridge. We don't want to set a bad example for them. Case studies. But the Springbok Nude Girls, in case you don't know, I'm going to give you a little bit of background here because then they don't have to and they're tired of telling the story, frankly, anyway. But they played their first gig in September 1994. Like South Africa was only a few months. South Africa was just a few months old. In a small bar in Stellenbosch, her first album, Neanderthal One, was the following year. Since then, this platinum-selling, award-winning band has gone on to record albums that contain some of the country's most beloved songs. They've headlined every major South African music festival. They've performed at some of the most auspicious international festivals in Europe, including Pukkelpop in Belgium, which is well-known. They've produced 11 albums, 2 live recordings, an EP, 2 DVDs, and a UK exclusive series. It's been over 2 decades since the release of the famous song Blue Eyes, the song that redirected the trajectory of the band. And this year, 2021, sees them getting together again and signing to Mongrel Records for their long-awaited full-length album Partypocalypse, the last studio release that will feature the original lineup. This is what the album cover looks like. How cool is that? Isn't that amazing?
Oh.
So,
wow.
Here they are.
It was the first time for me that South African music was cool.
Yeah, for many of us.
The first time for me that I could proudly say, flip, I love these guys.
Well, here they are. Let's not fuck around. Here's Arno Carstens. Here's Theo Kroos.
Hey.
Gentlemen.
Hey.
What a pleasure.
Good morning.
How beautiful to see you two on this Friday morning. I thought I was having a good Friday until you pitched up. Now I'm feeling like I'm in heaven. Look at this shit. And look at you. You both look good. What's going on? Look at you.
We're still alive.
I know. You're still thriving. Dude, what's happening, Arno? Let's catch up with you, first of all. Haven't seen you in years.
I haven't seen you in years. Last time I saw you was with the Robbie Williams thing at the hotel. And it didn't go well. It didn't go very well.
I think I'm trying to remember.
I remember saying goodbye to you at your combi came to pick you up. And
yes, thank God. Thank God it came to pick me up. Something had to pick me up. I was probably plastered onto the floor. Sweet Jesus. Yeah, Theo, laugh it up. Yeah, that's a nice cough. That's a great cough you've got going on there. Is that emphysema? How are you doing?
It's a morning cough.
I'm still coughing about Leanne's pump bed.
Did you like her? You can buy her pump bed. She's looking for some extra cash if you really want it.
I was wondering if I was ever on the pump bed.
Well, I can't remember, Theo. Maybe you were.
I don't know if I was on that pump bed.
Listen, guys, this is so great that you're bringing out a new album. And I don't want to do one of those retrospective interviews with you. People, there's plenty of that available on the internet. And people are going to look at how you used to be even younger and even better in terms of like having to go over your history. But this morning, I want to talk about what brought you together to do this again. And so many bands, so many people have had such a shit 2 years. Because in the music business, you couldn't wish for anything worse than not being able to perform. And although you guys have gone on and worked in different solo projects and you worked with other people, there's still this gravity that seems to pull you towards each other. And I want to know about that, because there are no music fans in the world who don't, in some dark part of their heart, maybe not even a dark part of their heart, wish that their favorite bands would get back together. And it hardly ever happens. So how did it happen with you?
Well, we in 2019 we had a tour. It was the last tour we had before it was late 2019, before COVID hit, and we decided to while we were touring together, because half of the band, like Adrian's in San Francisco and Arno Blumer is in the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. we thought while we were together, let's just record 13 songs, 14 songs. And then when COVID hit, the songs were kind of done. Well, not done, but in rough form. Mm-hmm. And I think what COVID allowed us to do for me and Arno, because they went back, the other two guys went back, is for the next 2 years, it gave us an opportunity to fuck around with all the music. Until we were entirely happy.
It's amazing.
I think if there wasn't a COVID pandemic, we probably would have released the album sooner.
Mm.
But I don't know if it would have turned out that good.
I'm sure it's good. Did the songs come easily?
Yeah, most of the songs. Sorry, Arno.
Most of the songs, look, it came easy, but the thing is we had a month to quickly put it down before Adrian and them leave again.
Yeah.
So we had it and it was cool and we did it, but you know, like I'm sure Theo thinks the same, you know, if it would be fantastic if the band could be together for 3 months and write 30 songs and then from that, you know what I mean? So it still felt like a little bit of a rush job when it came to the songwriting. But then again, I think it also forced us to really get to the point and not mess around. And it sort of didn't allow for too much acrobatics, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's quite a straight to the point type of album.
A lot of people want to know, you guys all still get along? Because most bands, when they've gone their separate ways, people have all got their own lives, they have families, they start doing solo projects, they maybe move out of music for all we know. But it's always interesting to people to know what the dynamics are. Was there any awkwardness, or did you immediately kind of pick up where you left off like you would with old friends?
Listen, I can tell you from my side, there was definitely awkwardness because obviously we don't see each other much and we change. We've totally changed. and individually. So, I mean, and some of the guys isn't so much actively, is not that active in music anymore. So I could feel that a little bit here and there. So there was a little bit of tension here and there, and but still at the end of the day, when it comes to making music, that is the magic is still there, and that is what counts. But definitely, of course, we all are changing. And if you're a little bit of an arsehole, the older you get, the bigger the arsehole gets. Arsehole, so, right.
That's
not
true.
That I'm saying anybody is an arsehole, but I mean,
dude, you got a lot of you got clearing throat. Is there you got lung cancer or something you want to tell us about this morning?
Well, I hope not. I know I'm probably working at it, but
flipping hell.
Jesus, do you still smoke?
Man, I'm now doing this little heat sink, which is supposed to be 90% better.
Yeah.
But it closes your throat.
Coffee also gives you slime in your throat, Gareth.
Yeah, okay. All right, whatever.
I mean, the amount of pills that you have to take in the morning when you...
Yeah, how many pills are you on in the morning just to make it through the day for your prostate?
I mean, there's a thing for cholesterol and, you know, and
blood pressure.
I have to take a thing for my heart in the night.
Thyroid.
What an old
I was standing in front of the mirror the other day.
Yeah.
And my knees, I was looking myself at the mirror and my knees were hanging.
Oh, God.
I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
You know,
why are my knees hanging? I didn't do anything to let my knees hang.
Did you guys have any kind of...
See your knees.
No, don't make him show off his knees, please. You're trying to sell albums here. You're not trying to put people off. Did you also have some kind of a pang of existential crisis when you saw Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones died? Because the Rolling Stones have been going such a long time. And they it's almost like a background music to so much of my parents used to listen to them. I used to listen to them. I still do. And you see Mick striding along on that stage and you think he's going to live forever. You know, Keith Richards is going to live forever. He's going to inherit his children's money when they die. But the thing about Charlie Watts dying is like, you think rock stars are going to carry on forever. And part of you hopes that. And you guys are like South African rock royalty. There's no two ways about it. People still to this day have kind of this hazy, like almost religious appreciation for what you did for South African music. And I don't want to kiss your asses too much this morning, but you know this is true, right? There isn't really a band in your genre that's ever been able to come close to you guys. And there's some great talented musicians, don't get me wrong. Do you feel like there's some part of you that's got to be a rock star forever?
Sure.
Personally, you have to change, otherwise you will die. So, Gareth, as you were saying, the way we were you were talking earlier about the parties that we used to have, me and Theo and, you know, the Nucles, and in that time, all of us, the fact that we're still alive is amazing. So I think we have changed. And you know, the rock star thing is, I think once you forget about the rock star thing, that's when you actually become more of a focused and probably a better musician. So,
wow,
that's my opinion.
Have you got?
Well, it might be time for me to share my Springbok Nude Girl story.
Yeah, bring it on. They're not scared.
Whoa.
Yeah, bring it on.
I was actually, it was at the Blues Room, I think.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember performing there?
I remember the Blues Room on my own with, and then that. That actor was...
I was there when Tim Robbins... I played with you when Tim Robbins opened.
There we go.
Really? I got very excited. I had a man crush on Tim Robbins because he's the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
All right. So when I was so excited to watch him play that I obviously had too much Jägermeister.
Sure.
And I didn't do my time right for my show. So I'm sorry. But Tim was amazing.
There were no mistakes seen from my side because I probably had the same amount to drink as you. But so the Blues Room was quite special to me because my father was a musician, Eddie Boyle, my genetic father. And he passed away while performing on the Blues Room stage.
He died in the middle of it. He died on stage. Goodness. That's a way to go, hey?
Gareth, stop smiling.
That's hilarious. I think that's a good way to go. What are you fucking people? What's your problem?
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, as a renowned, and in fact, at that stage, they were worldwide in terms of their fame, the Staccatos. But it was at the Blues Room, and I had never thrown an item of clothing onto a stage, but for some reason, I found while Arno was on stage that this was the time for me to remove my bra. And if you know me, you know these pendulous
great big breasts
attachments.
Huge.
Yes. So it was an effort. I mean, but I remember taking my bra, throwing it onto the stage at Arno.
Yeah.
And it was actually his wife who helped me put it back on once Arno had thrown it back.
Oh, but what a scene.
There had to be a whole crowd of people around me to cover me up because I had to remove my top completely. Listen. In order to put on the bra and hoist shoulders back up.
This is a good story. The bad story would have been if that bra had hit you, because again, Leanne has enormous breasts. So if her bra had hit you in the middle of your show, you would have died.
I mean, if those wires touched your head, you would have passed out.
The underwire is like 7 kilograms each side. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Well, great story. Thank you for that. And wow, what a story to know that. That is so crazy to know. Did your father really pass away on that stage? That is.
He did. Yeah, he was a bass guitar player with many bands, but most famously the Staccatos, who were founded and set up by David Gresham, who has fond memories of him.
Yeah.
And he passed away from a heart attack at the age of 50. So I've got 6 years left.
It's so weird. You're more rock star than us. You're like, your father passed away on stage. You had a pump bed.
Yeah. She's the real deal.
You take your top off at parties.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
I feel like doing it again. Can we do it this weekend?
So listen.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Between you and Theo's legs.
Yeah. We have Leanne with her top off and Theo with his knees showing, and it'll bring all the old age homes out. So listen, guys.
Theo, at least you don't have double knees. I've got double knees now because that's where my boots are.
Sweet Lord.
I love this album cover. This is something else. Tell us where this comes from.
Man.
That's amazing.
I needed the painting for that.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a talented man here.
So, I did it over December. My brothers were here for Christmas, and that was the painting I was busy with. So it's a bit of a Christmas painting, I think.
Oh, it's so good. It's very religious and happy. It's like Santa Claus and presents. It's a woman who's got like 900 eyes. It's a very scary looking picture.
Do.
Well, if you say so. I don't know about
that. Well, you know, we draw inspiration from our surroundings, isn't it? So,
wow.
But yeah. With lockdown up, right through lockdown, I've been painting so much. So
that's amazing.
That is great. And, you know, this album we financed ourselves before Mongrel Music got involved. We, Theo basically mixed the album for free and we didn't, there's no money for it. So, We you know, it's great to be able to have artwork and to pop it in there and make it work. You know what I mean? It's all homemade and with a lot of love.
Listen to this. Tina Turner's Calves says, Theo is such an amazing human. I love him. Arno was my biggest crush, still up there. Thanks for bringing them on. That's from Tina Turner's Calves. Isn't that nice?
Tina Turner's
Calves. Theo's knees and Tina Turner's Calves.
Tina's Calves.
Yeah, that's so great.
Leanne's boots.
I've listened to the new album about 10 times in the last week, says Sean Gray. It's really great. No filter on there. Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, thanks.
No, sorry, no filler. So he means not one of the tracks is just a filler. What do you think of music at the moment? Because you can't perform while Corona. Well, certainly you couldn't for the last while. A lot of people have taken a huge hit. and it's harder than ever to actually do the live performances. But a lot of musicians have found it quite gratifying to have the time to be able to sit and produce. And I know you guys put a huge amount of effort into the behind the scenes production of everything, as much as you do on the stage live. Have you had people calling desperately for you to get together and perform live again on stage? Because that's going to be hard to make happen.
Yeah, I mean, when we play live now, and we do get a lot of requests after the album, we have to get into session guys to make up for Adrian, and because there's no we can't travel right now. So
yeah,
and we're on the red list for traveling anywhere in the world.
Sucks ass.
So. Yeah, so we used two session guys, David Watkins and Sergio Barbosa. And so with the help of them, we actually able to play some live shows in South Africa.
I've always wondered also, as you kind of get older and you we've grown up with you and we've seen you guys do your own solo projects, you've been involved in so many other great musicians and their rise to fame. And what do you think that secret ingredient is that you had, like, especially when you started off and you guys were like riding high and you know, there's something legendary that was created at that point. And I'm not gilding the lily, you know, this is true. South Africa just fell in love with what you were making and you've maintained that position. What's that secret ingredient? Have you ever thought about it?
I don't know what the, you know, okay, each most successful bands has got a magic about between the members. And I remember after the Nude Girls, I put together a solo band for me, which I chose my favorite guys from all the 90s bands. I had the guys from from Urban Creed, from Batra and Nierge. You know, had some lovely musicians playing with me. And but the interesting thing was that still there, I could, for the first time, I realized that although they were amazing artists, and the music was good, there wasn't a natural magic, which there was with the Springbok Nukles. And so that was an interesting experience. And the fact is just same with Rolling Stones and all great bands, there's a certain magic. Sometimes the guys doesn't even look like they're supposed to be in a band. Like Charlie used to kind of stand out quite out of the band. But together musically, that is what counts. And I think we were lucky enough to have that, a little bit of that kind of magic. And also in the 90s, remember, we had help from the fact that our music in South Africa were banned up to then. We were frowned upon by the rest of the world. Suddenly with the Madiba Magic in 1993, there was just such a hype amongst the youth of South Africa because for once we were...
acceptable.
We were celebrating, man. We were all... we were 20, 21.
Right.
And we were celebrating. And that Madiba Magic and just that whole party vibe in those days, especially in Stellenbosch where we were with all the students, it was like a constant carnival and children just wanting to party. So that really helped. Plus then Barney Simon, the radio stations had a connection with the media. We had music writers.
Yeah.
So there was a connection between Radio 5, Barney Simon and the media. And it was just a big hype building around all the bands. And that was really fantastic.
Also, UCT, weren't you were at UCT Radio, Gareth?
No, Tux, Pretoria.
Tux Radio.
Yeah. I remember I introduced you guys on stage once. It must have been 96 or 7. And it was like my first ever, you know, MC gig for a big rock festival. And I remember you guys were there with Batra and Nierge and a bunch of others. And it was like the most exciting thing I'd done. Shit, it was fun. And I just remember
It was. I think if that's the correct gig, I think that's the most people that we've ever played for that came for us, and I think that was around 18,000 people.
That's about right.
At the Tuxual.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I was just blown away by how much people loved you. Not because I didn't think you deserved it, but because I'd never seen a local band receive that kind of acclaim. So what's happening? Is that woman your wife, says Robin, with the many eyes? Oh, no. the album cover? Is it your wife?
Maybe there's hints of all good wives in this picture.
With eyes all over their head, not and just in the back.
Skull of death.
Yeah. It's just it's a bit weird. So this is interesting. Very creative painting, says Zach Lesupi. He says, like Billy Corgan, Arno paints his own album artwork. Bring back album art. Is there a part of you that's nostalgic like me? I've never thrown out any of my CDs.
I've got, because we used to get CDs from Paul Thacker and them at Sony Music all the time, just to keep up with production. So, man, we've got, I'm sure, me and Theo.
Yes,
we've got cases full of CDs, and I don't know if they even work anymore. But it's
what
there.
Are we going to do with them? I have the same issue, and I can't throw them away.
But
because of the album artwork.
Yeah, I love the fact that it was something tangible. It's something that you could touch, and I couldn't wait to read inside to see what the lyrics. Because now music is so, it's so weird when you listen to a lot of music, especially Afrikaans productions, the lyrics are so fucking loud that you have to hear everything. And when stuff was released, when we were released, you didn't really know what anybody was singing until you read the sleeve notes. No. You're like, oh, cool, that's what they're singing.
Oh, that's what they're making up.
You know, like now, like the lyrics has to be the fucking loudest thing in the mix. And you're like, Jesus, can't they just put the lyrics a bit down? I mean, you can be left for interpretation as well. Anyway,
I like the mumbling thing. And then you go, oh, I get the feeling what he's saying there. And that is awesome. That's good enough. I mean, the 90s was, Nirvana, I still don't know what the guy was singing. And we were going with that because it worked in my favor.
Yeah. You didn't have to.
You were singing a lot of sounds that sounded like English. I remember we had this one song called Spaceman.
Yes.
Spaceman.
That's not that song. Shut up, Leanne.
The whole idea was to make a song that was sang in alien language with the chorus line going Spaceman. So. We were very creative in the 90s and didn't care much for lyrical content. But I always say, we didn't care much for lyrics back then. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the songs did have...
Oh, come on. Another universe.
Well thought out lyrics.
Exactly. I mean, Kelvin...
Not that much.
Right. Like Kelvin says here, Another Universe is a South African classic tune. I'm going to make sure that my future kids listen to the Springbok Nude Girls. Did these guys inspire the name for the Springbok Shooter? I don't think so.
Springbokie.
Did you?
No. Does it count if you had a lot of them?
Yeah, no, sure.
Yes.
That's 100% right. Yeah, listen, guys, it's absolutely incredible and really nostalgic to talk to you. I mean, I've got here Robin saying, this is my favorite thing. My 90s fangirl is going off her head. I swear I'm going to walk into the office with a hangover just with a scent of poverty trailing behind me.
So great. Welcome to the club, my darling.
Mundia says, SNG, Springbok Nude Girls, played in Stellenbosch, and I was in the front row right up against the stage. Your song lists were printed and taped to the stage floor. I stole that page and I framed it. I'm that obsessed.
That's awesome. Yes,
amazing. Yeah.
So, Gareth, I must just say that it is fantastic to see you as well after all these years. It's wonderful.
Thanks.
You know,
thanks.
Congratulations on your longevity.
Yeah, thanks, man. I mean, usually that's what you say to someone just before they die. You're like, you've lived so long, you've managed to keep.
Well, you never know with you, is it? Because you just don't know when you're going to fuck up again.
Well, luckily, I mean, I'm finally in a position where I don't have to answer to anybody, and only the audience get to make the decisions, which is the best place to be. You guys had that almost all your career. You know, the audience, you had fans who would follow you around from wherever in the country you were playing to wherever else. Is there a kind of lifestyle that you have now that is completely different to what you expected? Is there stuff that you're doing now that your 20 or 30-year-old self wouldn't even recognize? Are you doing boring shit like... Like you go to CrossFit or sit on an exercise bike or you take a handful of pills like Theo was saying every morning just so you don't have pain? Like, what kind of stuff are you doing at the moment that's not rock star stuff at all? People be horrified.
Okay, so for me and Theo, life has totally changed. Theo can tell you his thing, but I stopped drinking alcohol about 3 years ago, and that has totally changed my life. It is, fuck, I wish I did it many, many years ago.
Really?
So that, and then, of course, just boring stuff like I'm turning 50 next year, and my idea of fun would be going and doing, what's it? A super tubing. I thought about maybe that should be my 50th birthday. So do super tubing. So a lot of things that used to be very rock and roll is not rock and roll. You know, it's like, fuck it. Who gives a fuck? Now it's about you and having fun for yourself. And it's maybe not so rock and roll, but that the fact that we're still alive is rock and roll.
I love people's names here. Riddell says, and I want to hear your answer now, Theo. He says, nice to see you again, Arno. Just spoke of you yesterday when we recorded at Bob Recording Studios, and I did the double ups at that time as well. We must get you on Chris Wyatt's channel. Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Theo, what about you? What are you up to that's kind of embarrassing and not very rock star?
Well, I am studying.
Oh, yeah?
Which is, yeah.
What?
But I guess it's not boring.
No.
So I'm at UCT currently.
Mm-hmm.
I've finished my master's 2 years ago, and I'm like halfway through a doctorate.
In what?
In commerce, business science, but the topic is collaborative creativity. So how to get people to work together in a group, and how to enhance group creativity collectives.
Phenomenal.
Following like a systems model for creativity.
Are we going to have to call you doctor in a couple of years' time?
I can't wait. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to doctor you stuck in Dixie.
So, I mean,
sorry.
No, go ahead.
The thing that has changed for me is I don't swear that much because I've got children.
Well,
so I don't say oh my God that much. It's like, right. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, you've broken the hoodoo on that this morning. You've been swearing like a trooper. In fact, we've had to put out a warning.
Because they're at school.
Back to the old days. All right, gentlemen, it's so good to catch up with both of you, and I appreciate your time this morning. The best of luck with your new album. I think it's going to be a runaway hit, as everything is that you do. It is called Partypocalypse, and it is the first and last studio release for a while that features the original lineup of the Springbok Nude Girls 2021 release. It's terrific. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Gareth. Nice to see you again.
Awesome to see you both.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Theo.
Cheers.
Thank you. Good to see you guys. Ciao. Wow. Like isn't that cool? Yeah, Leanne left in a temper because I told her to shut up. No, she's having internet issues. But she's just she's as excited as many people will be to hear the Springbok Nude Girls again. Arno and Theo, isn't that lekker? Seriously, yeah, Tracy says, the best thing to come out of the 90s in South Africa, the soundtrack of my late teens and my 20s. It's amazing. It's always difficult to meet your music heroes because you have an expectation, and then sometimes your expectation's unrealistic and it's not met. But there is something, Arno said it just now when I was asking about that secret ingredient, that magic, right? There is some magic about some people that they don't have to be the loudest person in the room. They don't have to be the person who has the most stuff going on around them. They might actually not even like that much attention, personally. But they just are magnetic. There's just something special about them. And this band was like that. These guys, wherever they were in the country, there was just this magnetism. Whether they were on stage or, you know, meeting people after a show, or on tour in any far-flung part of the country. It's just wherever they went, there was this magnetism about them that just drew people in. And it's so great that they could get together now, all these years later, and put together something that we know people are going to love to hear. So it's just great news. And I'm so happy to catch up with those guys again.
Yeah, very special. Legends. Hey, if you're that guy, you're that guy. There's no PhD for that. Like all guys that do this, it's you're either it or you're not. I'm sorry. There's no Montessori where we're all going to hug in a circle. There's nothing that can make you honor cost. There just isn't. There's no trust fund. If you're that guy and honor's that guy. And a great advert for South Africa at a time when we were just sprouting, right? Is that like we can do world class too? They were doing world class then. Yeah, and I'm not saying it as a South African. Their music was world class then. That is amazing. That's
spectacular. Hey, George Meany, what's happening, man?
Hey, Gareth Cliff. Carrying on, doing well, actually.
I'm very happy to hear it. Auto Trader, you guys have been, I was on your site the other day because I'm at one of those stages, you know, where I think a lot of guys go through that stage where they just want to look at beautiful cars and they just want to see what's on the market. I mean, it's kind of, I'm not in the market to buy a car at the moment, but I just love going to your site to just see what you guys are up to. And you look up the most expensive car on there and you look up some of the cars that you've always loved. And I just love going through the pictures. It sounds a bit sad, but I promise you it's one of my favorite things to do.
No, I mean, it's a real thing. We we get about 75 million pages opened a month, just over 10 million visits, and those 10 million visits turn into about 500,000 inquiries on cars. So you can see that 500,000 inquiries, 10 million visits, it's literally 5% of the people browsing convert into an inquiry. So there's a lot of what you're doing going on because you're probably right at the top of the funnel, deciding what to do, maybe not, and then different people in different stages of the funnel.
But for me, it's also partly like fantasy because there's some of those cars that I couldn't afford right now, but it's nice to look at them and to imagine, oh, wow, I wonder what it would feel like to drive that around. Or if I could customize this thing, what would I do to it? You know, it's a very guy thing. So George, have you been flying lately? We haven't spoken about that for a while.
Actually, Gareth, I haven't flown in a couple of weeks, which is bad. So my plan is tomorrow morning, if this wind doesn't, blow anything over, is to go flying. But I mean, one of the main reasons of the last couple of weeks is the August winds are just uncomfortable to fly in. I haven't gone in a couple of weeks. The moment there's a still morning, I'm going to be up there like a bear.
Sounds good. What have you got in the agenda for us this morning?
Well, Gareth, you know, all cars nowadays have some kind of driver assistance. You've got emergency braking, lane assist. You've got, cruise control where you can follow the car in front of you. Most cars have got some kind of assistance. You're very familiar with Tesla's autopilot and what Elon Musk is trying to do with autopilot. I don't think there's any autonomous vehicle in the world yet. Whether we get there or not, it remains to be seen. But MIT did a study on the vehicle technology and autopilot, and they found that using autopilot, the drivers that switched on autopilot had a marked reduction in their concentration levels. So what they did was they tracked eye movement and glances, and driving-related off-road glances were less frequent with autopilot active than in manual driving, while non-driving-related glances like looking down, looking at the center stack, were most frequent, and 22% of the glances down into the car lasted more than 2 seconds.
That's dangerous.
So you got to ask yourself, are these driver aids... I believe that the computers and AI can eventually become more reactive and quicker than human beings. But is it making us lazy? Is it making us,
definitely
more of a danger on the road?
Definitely. Leanne just popped back in to call you Borge. It's important for her on a Friday that she gets to do
that. Hi, Borge.
Hello, 3Anne. How are you?
Sorry, I ran out of prepaid electricity. I feel like such a pleb.
That's so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing.
I know.
And you missed out on the end of the Arno and Theo interview.
I know. I want to cry.
I know. They were both saying goodbye to you, and I had to let them down gently that you'd already exited stage left. So George, this whole thing about driver aids, I mean, you know, a lot of people, especially on long trips or if they're stuck in traffic, they aren't concentrating on the road, and there are a lot of distractions now in the car. there's everything to get your attention. There's navigation, and there's podcasts or radio or whatever. There's an instrument cluster which tells you things about your car that before you'd have to guess. Like, you didn't know if you had a flat tire in one of those old cars. You'd literally hear it going boom, 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 boom. That's the only way you'd know if you didn't careen off the road in a ball of flame. But now you can go through controls on your car, and I mean, it's pretty much can keep you busy if you're stationary for hours. So if people are doing that stuff while they're driving, it's really very distracting.
It is very distracting. And I mean, I look at my Jaguar I-Pace. I drove it to Bloemfontein in July, and I set the lane keep assist and the cruise control, kind of slows down the cars in front of you.
Yeah.
And I set that. I hardly had to do any inputs. Almost all the way to Bloemfontein, you know, and you've got to wonder whether that kind of then relaxes you, makes you less attentive.
It does,
and something comes out the side, you're not going to see it necessarily.
No. I mean, like an antelope or something, because that does happen still. Anyway. All right. So just keep paying attention, please. We've already got outrageously high statistics for South Africa being one of the most deadly places when it comes to our driving. So let's not add to that and make it even worse.
Well, just on a positive note, though, there is studies that show that Tesla's autopilot, while engaged, has a 10 times lower chance of being involved in an accident than an average car. So the technology does work, but it does make us lazy humans, I think.
Okay.
In South Africa, this is, you know, usually you find these stories in Florida. Every time I bring you a story like this, it's in Florida. This one happened in Mpumalanga.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Same thing.
32-year-old man was sentenced to 15 years in jail for fraud amounting to 1.6 million rand after he had faked IDs to apply for finance for cars. And he actually got these finance deals across the line, collected the cars using fake documents.
Wow.
And then eventually was nabbed. And he's just received a 23-year sentence with 15 years.
We must ask Phil if he knows this guy, because Phil, obviously,
Bill.
Bill, who you met the other day, Leanne. But Phil, and we spoke to him this week, and he was telling me about, like, you know, how the car dealerships are doing in Mpumalanga. They're obviously in Ermelo, and I wanted to now, when you were saying the story, I wanted to bring him on just so we could say to him, "Hey, do you know this dude who was defrauding people and making up fake bullshit?" Because everybody.
Well, he might very well have been into Phil's dealership, because all of these crimes were perpetrated in rural areas or non-city areas. Like, for instance, Nell Auto, Mazda, Witbank, Ford in Nelspruit, Klerksdorp Motorsmart. All of those are really off the beaten track.
So this
dealerships.
This guy's going to jail for 23 years?
Well, he got sentenced to 23, and the judge said he needs to effectively serve 15.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And his name is Arthur Moyo.
Shame. Shame. Kuya dabugisa. What else you got for us?
And then here's a new piece of technology, whether Tesla uses it or not. And, you know, these things always come out of companies that are leading the pack. Tesla's just put a patent through for a laser beam windshield wiper. So what Tesla's argument is that the windshield wiper causes a lot of wind resistance, which for an electric car, you know, causes the battery to not be able to take you as far at high speed conditions.
Right.
So they've patented a laser beam that sits on the bonnet where your traditional nozzles for the water jets would sit.
Yeah.
And there's a camera inside the car that scans the windshield for debris. Mm-hmm. And then the laser takes the debris out of the windscreen.
That's awesome.
So how's that for a change in technology to windshield wipers?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Because really, the one is such antiquated technology. You actually switch on a machine, it goes with water, and this one will use a little laser to get rid of some debris. So bird shit, you could burn off your windscreen. That'll be amazing.
Exactly. So they put two patents through. That one is the laser beam technology, which they said will be complex to make. They're not sure if they'll use it. And the other one is a electromagnet, which takes away that mechanism that you're talking about, and it takes an entire rod or whatever they've got in the patent and wipes it across the windscreen in one swoop. So that's the other patent that they've got.
I like the idea of burning bird shit off the windscreen, though. That makes me happy.
Like the button on your steering wheel.
Yeah, like it's time to burn.
It's like when you're so angry at that bird shit, you just want to set a torch to it. It's ruined your life.
Have you never had the bird shit sit on your windscreen and then you put the wipers on and then there's this big GT strop?
Yeah, no. It spreads everywhere.
I drove underneath a tree the other day and this bird took such a deliberate long shit.
Spiteful.
And it was slow.
Is it
that
a hobby
I actually dog? It hit from my bonnet to my boot and it went ba ba da ba da ba ba ba. It tainted my entire car.
It's probably a hardy dog or a pterodactyl by the sound of like how much came out of that bird. Wow. Unreal.
And then very finally, Gareth, used car prices are climbing. If if you're thinking of replacing your car and you're one of those people like you browsing on Auto Trader, make your move now because this seems to be a worldwide phenomenon, not just in South Africa. So the same thing's happening across the world. Used car prices are rising in the US by up to 19% in August. Used car prices. And the main reason for this, well, in South Africa anyway, is new car sales have plummeted as we've gone through lockdowns, economic pressures, all those things. New car sales have plummeted. The silicon chip shortage has caused manufacturers not to be able to put volumes out into the market. So the shortage of new cars has meant that people's attention has shifted to new. And you know that that's a recipe for prices to rise because it's really just like an economic model.
Amazing. There's a good reason to go and get onto Auto Trader and not just browse like me. Go on and buy it. If you're going to buy it now. All right, George, thank you very much. Always good to see you on a Friday, not only because it's Friday, but because you enlighten us with stories from all over the world about the stuff that you guys at Auto Trader are expert in. And it's good to catch up with you. Leanne and Mbulelo and I will be back on Monday. Have an excellent weekend, everybody. Be good. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao. CliffCentral.com.